Ah, you dickheads.
I like bananas.
Welcome to episode 32 of Double Dodge. This one's called The Devil's Penis, for reasons that will become obvious. Campbell.
David, how are you?
I'm well, my friend, I'm well. Here we are, episode 32.
It's not bad. It's not a striking number. It's not like a 21st. It's a 32nd, and it's kind of, you know, no relevance there, really, is there?
No, it's a bit of a nothing number, but it is a bit of a something episode.
Ooh, and what do we have in store for punters?
Well, Campbell, you may be aware of rumours circulating, excitement building about the Falconers, and we saw Motagi, we've seen him, we know what he looks like. He's pretty good. But in this episode, we have a very detailed chat with one Bryce Johnston of Steamforged. He's on. He's talking to us about Falconers. He's talking to us about the next Falconers player, Minerva.
Yes. Ooh, boom, boom. So secret tech, basically.
Not secret anymore, Campbell.
It's out there. It's out there on the interwebs. I love the chat with Bryce. I love the fact that we discovered that he doesn't like beer, but like a true Scotsman, he's all in on his whiskey. So he's a champ. Gave us a bit of his time, asked for a day off from work. Perkins said yes. So, it was a good chat.
It was. Automatic friend of the show status for Bryce. Good bloke.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see him if he ends up at the WTC.
That would be awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, without further ado, maybe we just jump on the back of a giant eagle and fly the fuck out of Mordor.
Yeah, no fucking around. And on the line, we thought we were getting one representative, the Scottish representative from Steamforge, Mr. Bryce Johnston. Bryce, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, man. Pretty good. How's yourself?
Very good, very good. We like being in the future. We see all, we know all.
It's Friday night there, isn't it? Like, how is the future? Is it nice?
Friday night future is really good, because generally there's alcohol involved.
It's a bit shit, Bryce. It's pretty much the same.
Okay. Well. Sorry. I'll just have to cope with that.
So we thought we'd get you on the line, being a game developer of Steamforged, and obviously with the release of two of Falconers that go into the Hunters, we thought we'd have a chat to you about, what roles they play, what they tip off as to the game style of the Falconers, and also how they cross over into David's favourite guild, the Hunters. So, but to kick them off, David usually asks three questions. So, Dave, fire away, champ.
Bryce, great to have you here. Yep. Welcome to the podcast. We've been wanting this for a long time. We're happy this moment's finally come. It wasn't because Jamie Flick passed this obligation to you that you're on. I just want to make that perfectly clear to the listeners. Sure. So the first question actually comes from Jamie Perkins. We asked him, Jamie, what should we ask Bryce? He said, ask him, is it true that in your home nation of Scotland, Bryce roughly translates to toilet?
Yes, that is unfortunately true, yeah.
Right, and could you shed some light on that?
Oh, mate, it's like, so you just want to help that there's a Scottish comedian called Lemmy, and he's really funny, but like he has this sketch where like this guy just chases a guy down the street and is like, here, mate, you're a toilet, mate, and just slags him off. And it's like, it's one of those sketches that isn't actually that funny in itself. But a bunch of us Scots used to go to a bunch of gaming conventions, and we got real smashed and just started calling everyone toilets at like 2 a.m. And then for some reason, this was just the funniest thing that had ever happened. And somehow it sort of got twisted around to the point where just I am the toilet, apparently. And like I've sort of got a running joke now, because some of my friends got me a toilet. You know, you can twin your, you can apparently twin your toilet with your toilet in somewhere in like Africa or Asia, and you sponsor a toilet. So I have a sponsored toilet somewhere in Africa. Like,
that's fucking amazing.
I'm just wondering how often you get over there to clean it. I just don't think that's usually hygiene. But anyway.
Usually about once a month, like, no. Just take a wee trip down, clean the toilet, you know, it's grand.
Yeah, it's got to be a tax deduction at that point.
That's an incredible answer. Right off. I think that's one of the best answers we've had on Double Dutch. Thank you, Bryce. And thank you, Jamie. Question number two. How are you coping with the emotional trauma of being the other guy?
It's hard. I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, I see everyone in Jamie Perkins' name up in lights all the time. You know what I mean? And I'm just the other guy. You know, it's quite emotionally hard to get through that. You know what I mean? Like, but it's... Yeah, I struggle with it quite sometimes. Like, you know, you see all the people on Gobs and on the forums been like, oh, Jamie Perkins, Jamie Perkins, Jamie Perkins, you know, and Jamie's a great lad, but like, sometimes I want, you know, I just want to be known, you know, that's all I want, like.
Mm-hmm. I hear you, Bryce. I agree. I think Jamie's overexposed as well. I mean, celebrity only has, it only has a certain length of time to run. Maybe his 15 minutes are done.
Maybe. Well, do you guys know the Perkins Watch thing?
Yeah. Unfortunately, yes. Yeah, we do.
Like, that was brilliant. Like, some of his mates they were getting on a plane once to go to a game, and I think it was WTC, and they got the airline, like the check-in agent when he's checking onto the flight, and they got her to she looked at his passport and looked at her and went, oh my God, are you the Jamie Perkins? That's amazing. Which is funny because he's like the most humble, self-effacing guy in the entire world, and he just does not know how to deal with it. Like,
that's excellent.
So Perkins Watch will not end.
No.
Yeah. What about Bryce Watch? When's that going to happen? That's what I want to know. It's your time to shine, my friend.
Maybe that's this year's WTC, like... Maybe it's Bryce Watch time. Who knows?
Yeah. You got to go out there and take it with both hands, you know? I know people say, you know, good things come to those who wait. No, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. Good things come to those who violently overthrow things. I'm just throwing out some ideas.
So basically you're saying I should market myself along the lines of the Russian Revolution? Like.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, that ended pretty well, so...
Maybe take the Cambridge Analytica line rather than the... maybe take a modern approach to it. I don't know.
Right. All right, okay. I'll look into it. No worries. Like,
what I'm trying to say, Bryce, is it's not for me to tell you how to overthrow tyranny. You know, that's a personal choice. Question number three. We like to do cultural research here at Double Dutch because we think it's important. It's a sign of respect to our guest. And we did some reading. We found out that there's a mountain in Scotland that in Gaelic translates to the demon's penis. And we just wanted to know, Bryce, firstly, are you familiar with the demon's penis? And if so, have you summited the demon's penis?
I have to admit, I'm not familiar with the demon's penis. Although I will now Google that the second this call, and one day I hope to summit the demon's penis.
As do we all. A little side note. Apparently, Queen Victoria was taken to visit the demon's penis, and she asked her guide at the time what the mountain was called. And the Scottish guide, who was caught a little unaware, not wanting to give her the proper name, translated it to Devil's Point. So once again, the English ruin it for all of us.
Truer words have never been spoken.
Thank you for playing the quickfire question round, Bryce. It was a joyous experience, and we feel we have grown to know you in the process. So, excellent answers.
Okay. Mm. Did I win the round, or like, is there a point system, or like a ranking system, or something? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, we like to think of it like Top Gear. And if Perkins is on there, you definitely got a faster time than him. And by faster, I mean slower, and just yeah. Longer answers.
Yeah, I mean, no one can beat Perkins when it comes to talking. Like, that man talks at a speed previously unknown to mankind. Like,
yeah. Do you know the amount of editing Dave has to put in to actually make him sound normal, but also slow him down? Yeah,
I just want to make this point. Perkins may use more words, but Bryce, I think you say more.
Oh man, that's meaningful. Like,
automatic friend of the show status. Welcome.
So, should we get into some Guild Ball?
Yeah, let's talk about Guild Ball.
All right, if we must.
So we have seen the release of the first Falconist player, Matagi. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. And this podcast will drop just after the second Falconers player is released. That player's name is Minerva. She will also play for the Hunters. My God, Bryce, I'm out of pants. I'm out of pants. Do you want to know why I'm out of pants?
You got tilled up.
Mate.
You got a damage buff.
It's been 2 weeks of nothing but fucking crotch rockets. I'm down to my spare shorts. It's not good. So good.
So at what point did you guys think, you know, we're going to listen to the interwebs, to the forums, and all those sad Hunters players who keep bitching and moaning about not having a damage buff, which they already kind of had with, you know, Snared on, you know, and Cena and that kind of shit. At what point did you think, let's not only give them a damage buff, let's make it like an AoE that you can put on multiple models? Was it early in the playtest? Was it?
It was actually the first draft, I think. Like, we just, because obviously we've known, like, I mean, obviously you guys know, like, Hunters have been for a long time seen as one of the sort of less competitive guilds, you know what I mean? And I think we fixed a lot of that with the errata to Heron and Theron. But still, like, the Hunters aren't maybe quite where we want them to be. Like, they're still, like, we want to give them a broader variety of options, basically, because quite a lot of their strength currently trades on Theron and Heron being completely badass. And Jakar, actually, you can't ever talk about Hunters without talking about Jakar. And Christ, Perkins never does. So yeah, it was pretty early in the process with Falconers. Like, I think the very first draft had Harriers. Harriers didn't used to be once per turn. And I think they used to have a longer range, but the core of the effect and the plus one damage was in there right from the start, because we wanted to just give Hunters that option. Like,
Jesus Christ, you could put multiple Harriers out off one model initially.
Yeah.
I hope it didn't take you long to work out how fucking broken that was.
Yeah, it was about two games.
I love it. So, yeah, it looks like it's very much a theme of the guild, and obviously with the whole bird theme. I love the idea of just a whole bunch of fucking birds of prey just, like, you know, having a go at something or aiding in the damage. So I think thematically it's really cool.
Yeah. Like, we went through the effect of a couple of, like, it didn't always affect character plays, and there were a couple other, like, variations that we went through, but yeah, like, where it ended up is just it's thematic and good and cool, and I think that's the three things that you really want to hit with any model, you know what I mean, or any effect really.
Absolutely. So looking at Mitagi, we will roll out a game with Mitagi and have a bit of a play, but Dave and I have just done a bit of dojoing. Hotshot plus Harrier, that's even more broken, isn't it? I don't know. That just seems even better, throwing it from a fucking distance away and keeping, you know, Mitagi quite safe.
Yeah, it's just flat out broken. Yeah, you're right. It's terrible. We're really bad at our jobs. Like,
no, I love it.
Yeah, no, you can see with Mitagi, like, the Falconers are sort of like, I think I said this in the blog as well, the Falconers sort of like the Hunters, like, ratcheted up another level in terms of they're fragile. Because, I mean, he's death five with 10 health.
10 boxes, and
not a great counterattack. Like, he's got a dodge on one, but a double dodge on three with attack five, like, and a one-inch melee zone. You know what I mean? So it's one of those, like, the Falconers particularly, like, they are strong. And particularly, like, yeah, Hotshot putting out Harrier from range is really good. But if you misposition him, he'll die very, very quickly.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the counterbalance that you guys were striking, you know, that hit hard, you know, similar thing to a lot of the Hunters want to be able to come in, hit hard, and then, you know, or not glass cannon, but the downside is the fact that they can die.
Yeah, I don't think glass cannon is too inaccurate, but it's more about using the control elements in the guild to keep your models alive, which is... Then you're using, and that's fine, because then you're using the control elements to keep your models alive rather than achieve anything. So it's the trade-off of where, pardon me, where you, like, how much you put into keeping your dude alive after they put down the Harriers and after they do whatever, versus, like, how much do you use those control elements to actually achieve things in the game? You know what I mean? Because obviously, like, one of the things, like, you need to, it sounds trite, but you need to score VPs to win. If all you're doing is, like, keeping your toys alive, you're not actually winning the game. And so that's the kind of trade-off there, is that you have to kind of like trade off how aggressive you can be, how well you can use these harriers, while still keeping these very fragile models safe.
He does strike me as a model that likes to lurk, you know, slightly behind the pack, just slightly off that center line, where he can get that 6-inch hot shot off, set up the harrier, and really aid the rest of his team. But the other thing I really like about him is that 2-8 kick, and actually pretty good low momentous dodges, so that the goal run, if it's on, he can opportunistically snap it up, or you can set him up to get a snapback goal. He seems quite versatile, which I think is a theme you see right across the Hunters.
Yeah. And that's something we again want to push for the Falconers and give them options. Like, particularly you'll notice, like, both the like Matagi with the 2-8 kick and the Minerva, who we're just about to discuss, both of them have decent kick attributes in different ways, because she has a 3-6, which a lot of the Hunters currently don't have, and it's something we're looking at going forward, is just generally sort of making sure people can play with the ball, because it's guild ball, right? And like you want the ball to be in play as much as possible. And so that was quite important for us. And yeah, like, he can sprint 9, attack from 6 inches away, grab the ball, and then he's got an 8-inch kick, you know, and then dodges on his playbook as well. So he actually, if you want to bring him forward, but it's the struggle of quite often, if he's hanging about that range where he can get a snapback goal, that's actually just far forward enough that he can get punched and fall over, you know? So it's every single game, and a lot of the Hunters it's reading the game state and reading where you can stand this model safely, and that's like super important for them, you know.
He's a great piece, and the sort of the feedback that the internet seems to have provided on him is uniformly positive. I think people recognize that having an extra damage buff on tap in Hunters, it's fucking berserk. Just got real.
And obviously it's better versus some teams than others. Obviously, like, Fish quite often have ways of like repositioning models out of Harrier AoEs. So you need to be like, the timing of when you put down your Harriers is really important as well. And that's something a good opponent will learn to manipulate, is activate models that aren't an immediate threat of getting put in a Harrier, or like activate models that your opponent, if they do put them in a Harrier, it's not an optimal model to go on.
Yeah, I think it poses an interesting choice as the Hunters player as well. Do you want to put the Harrier down and control a section of the board, or do you want to put it down on a model that's already activated? Yes, you'll get the takeout, but you won't get the benefit of denying your opponent an activation that way. It's kind of an interesting conundrum from the point of view of the player.
Yeah, there's a cool kind of push-pull going on there, because what I really like about it is that it's a damage buff that feels very thematic to the Hunters as well, and the Falconers, you know, because we didn't just want to give them tooled up, like, we wanted to make it feel thematic, and I think you're right, I think we've kind of done that with this, in that it's incredible if you use it well, and terrible if you use it badly. You know, if you put it down on a model that hasn't activated, or like you put it down on a model against, like, again, Fish are probably the best example, and then Hag's like, well, no, I'm just going to pull them back out of the Harrier, you've just completely wasted it. And so it's really important to kind of think your way around things, which is what the Hunters are supposed to be.
I think what I also find interesting is, you know, the fact that you can basically hard cast it or hit it off the playbook. So you've got, when you talked about the push and pull, you've got that push and pull as well, especially on Matagi, where do you want him that close to be hitting someone? Obviously, he's got hot shot and can trigger it off that. But, you know, where do you want him sitting on the board, and where's the risk reward? Because that range 6 on the Harrier AoE is, I think that's the really interesting part. It's like when you know, throw 1,000 cuts off one player onto another one. It's really cool that you can hit one guy and then put it somewhere else.
You've got a ton of flexibility. You've got a ton of flexibility with it. And like, you can, as you say, hard cast it, but then you're spending like And it's weird because compared to tooled up, you're spending two to put down a static damage buff. Mm. So that can be a lot better than tooled up, but it can also be a lot worse.
Yeah.
And it's and you're spending two influence. Like if you hard cast it, you're spending two influence. You're not getting any, momentum, and he has to stand relatively close. He has to stand a maximum of 7.5 inches away from the model he's hitting with the Harrier. You know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's a bad example. I mean, Hotshot, he can basically do it. No, it's the same distance, isn't it? Six. So, but at least with the Hotshot and then the punch, you do, go and tack five, trying to hit the momentous, you know, on the two.
Yeah.
It's probably a better way of going about it with him. So I also see him as a pretty efficient model that way too.
He was actually the first model that had Harrier. And obviously, as we'll see with Minerva, multiple models have it, but he was the first one and he was the one that, like, we were like, we want him to be able to put it down and be a little bit safer slash do it momentously. But then again, you need to pick your targets because against a lot of models, column two isn't super reliable with TAC 5 if you don't have any other buffs.
Yeah.
Particularly if they're in cover or something. So, you know, against the 4-1 model in cover, he's unlikely to get that column, that second column.
Yeah.
So again, it's trading off and being like, sure, you can take the risk of going for it and trying to generate a momentum and do it momentously and for one influence, and that'll feel amazing when you do it. But you then introduce the possibility of failure. And that's another big trade-off in him. Like,
well, maybe that's a good point to jump over to Minerva. I think rather than go through her card completely, maybe it's worth just scanning her stats. Move 5-7, tack 5, kick 3-6, def 4, armor 0, 2-3 influence. You know, so she kind of falls into that notional support range. Two inch melee zone, but her playbook is kind of interesting. So momentous Guild Ball result on 1, momentous KD, non-momentous push on 2, non-momentous tackle, momentous 2 on 3, double push on 4, momentous 3 on 5. So in addition, she's got Harrier. She's got I Spy, which is, man, that shit's gravy. So it's cost 2 or
pretty
a
good, isn't it?
Yeah, plus 2 tack against target enemy model. Jesus.
It's basically ranged singled out.
It's just, oh, thanks for that. and flip her over, you've got a character traits, easy pickings. When this model makes an attack against a model with lower current HP than its recovery level, this model gains plus 1 damage to playbook damage results. So, I mean, I love the sadistic nature of that. And then nocturnal hunting, 6-inch aura. Each time an enemy model suffers the takeout condition while within this aura, after the current action is resolved, this model may immediately use Come On Mate without spending MP. What the actual fuck?
That's pretty efficient.
She's I like bored.
That. That's very efficient. But again, to look at the trade-off, she's def. She's got 15 health, def 4, no armor, and has basically a non-existent counterattack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like she's another one of those models that she's super efficient, and she can also only take 3 influence. But she's super efficient, but she dies to maybe not a stiff breeze, but like, you know, a little bit of wind, and she just falls over.
Yeah.
And that's, again, one of the big balancing points with these models and with the Falconers in general, really, is that they are fragile, even more so than the Hunters in general.
Mm. She does strike me as a notional support piece where, I mean, most turns, she's going to land a 2-inch melee zone. She's probably going to put out Harrier. She's probably going to set up with a knockdown. Generate a bit of momentum during her activation, but once there's a setup or if there's a scrum that's developed, she can actually go in and do a bit of momentous damage as well, which is, you know, which is nice.
Yeah.
Good at finishing off already damaged targets.
Yeah. Well, she's got that momentous 2 on 3 hits, which is her the kind of the damage result she's going for. But I mean, she's still got 1 damage on 1, which if you've got the damage buff from easy pickings or Harrier or both. She can actually do a lot of damage that way. But it's all, again, this is all sort of situational things, and a lot of it as playing against the Falconers and against the Hunters with the Falconers is about, like, working out where the situations are and which situations you can and which ones you're willing to allow and which ones you're not willing to allow. Because obviously, like, in a lot of cases, you can stop her getting easy pickings by just healing a model. And that's, you know, that's pretty easy, but that's a trade-off in other ways, and it's all the sort of push-pull of, like, where do you, what do you allow to get through? Because obviously, like, she can go and, if she gets in melee, attack 5, she can hit that Harrier or Ice Spy really easily. Mm-hmm. And that's momentous on 1, you know, like, and then she's also got knockdown on 2, which is, she's just a primo supporter model who can do a bit of damage if the situation calls for it, but that's not her primary role. Like, again, if you get her too close to the melee, she's liable to fall over.
I do like that between her and Mitagi, you know, with Harrier and with Ice Spy, you do see this theme of picking your prey sort of emerge.
Yeah. So
the idea that you could throw Ice Spy on a model, you know, you can mark that model, you can force that kind of psychology on your opponent, and then effectively set up the rest of your team off the basis of that activation. I mean, that's quite good thematically, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And one of the important things about her is because she's a 3 influence cap, she can't hard cast Ice Spy and Harrier. Hmm. So if she wants to do both of those, she has to be engaged.
Hmm.
And she's also not super fast. Like, she's 5'7". And I mean, the 2-inch melee zone's good, but yeah, like, it's a lot of it as Falconers and really as Hunters is pick the model or couple of models you're going to try and kill this turn and throw all of your attack buffs and damage buffs at them.
Yeah. The other thing I like about Ice Spy is the fact that you can just stack singled out on it too.
And so yeah.
All of a sudden, I can just see Harrier plus Ice Spy singled out, you know, and then a cheeky for hard charge could just do a bajillion damage at some point, right?
Yeah, I can. That's
Christmas land, but you know, any combination of those can still get a decent damage result.
Yeah. And it's funny, as you said, talking about Fahad charging under Harrier, Ice Spy, and singled out, I could just see Perkins' face grinning in my head. Like. But then that's the thing is, if you do like Harrier, Ice Spy singled out, you've potentially spent a bunch of influence and activations just on setup. Mm. Like, you still have to kind of work for, like, none of this is just an easy, I do this one, I activate this one model, and then someone else goes and just murders the world. Like, you need to kind of position around, you need to do setup, you need to do Hunter things. You need to work for it. But if you work for it, you can pretty much guarantee a takeout.
Yeah. You know, I can almost see a... Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, you just pick your prey and that's the model that you're like, you're dying. Like, you're going down. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I can almost see a setup where the singled out layers to enable Minerva to then get deeper in her book and almost maybe wrap, you know, with only 2... to then do damage on the singled out model, but then throw Ice Spy onto a secondary model, where all of a sudden you're identifying 2 targets and it becomes really that psychological board control game where you've set 2 models up and then all of a sudden they can only activate 1 of those 2. You know, which one do they try to defend?
Yeah.
I can see some interesting scenarios there.
And sometimes as the opposing player, it's about going, right, this model that he's stacking all these buffs on, I can either try and stop that one dying, or I can accept it's dying and just move on with my turn and just look to achieve everything with the rest of my turn, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, if you focus too much on killing one model, and I think your example there of her going in and getting Ice Spy on someone else is a good way to think about it. Like, if you stack too many of your support buffs or your negative buffs on one enemy player, sure, they're going to die. That's 2 VPs. Like, it's sometimes that's super important and super relevant, but other times if your opponent's like, yeah, sure, but I can also kill some of your squishy models and I can grab the ball and maybe get a goal or whatever. Like, it's the trade-off of, like, focusing on one target, but without tunnel visioning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like they're very, very much like hunters have always been a finesse guild, and the Falconers are very much that as well. And so, there's a lot of kind of balance points. Yeah.
Sorry, Bryce. So what gap in hunters were you trying to fill with these crossover players? Like, where do you see these guys kind of rounding out the gaps in the hunters game?
So they're both models. Like Mitagi is generally very fast, actually kind of good at ball retrieval, particularly if you can. And it's one of the uses that you can actually use I Spy for, is stick I Spy on someone, and then Mitagi can actually relatively reliably get his tackle. And so you can actually, like, Mitagi's your kind of like general hanging around. He can snag the ball. He's got that 8-inch kick to go for goals. Like, he's kind of just a skirmisher. Like, he can hang around and kind of do everything from the back line if your opponent lets that happen. And Minerva's just pure support, but she's a very efficient supporting model. And also, nocturnal hunting, if you position her properly, she can, because the hunters are very fragile, as we've discussed, and the falconers are very fragile, and so she can actually mitigate that to an extent. But you need to position around that. You need to place her carefully. But she can kind of keep your guys alive by throwing out come on man and getting them healed up or clearing knockdown or whatever.
I think the thing that I like the most with the addition of these new players is that it's really hard to form a six. Like, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to build teams now. Like, you've especially with Vet Minx in the picture as well. You are now presented with a genuine puzzle. And the I think it lends itself to different styles of hunter game as well. Because I think, like, you look at somebody like Mitagi and you look at somebody like Ygritte, and I would make the argument that Mitagi has probably greater utility than Ygritte when you factor in Harrier, and then when you factor in his long goal threat and his very fast speed. So you've now got a situation where you're like, okay, well, where does somebody like Ygritte fit in? I think the comparison mm-hmm. with Minerva is maybe Vet Hearn. I can see Minerva filling a big gap in a Scartha team. So now mm-hmm. where does Vet Hearn fit in? And, you know, you've kind of got this conundrum where you have to go, well, shit, building hunters just got really difficult.
Yeah. Which is basically the ideal for us, is that every single guild should be... You should be sitting looking at your six and going... Or you should be sitting looking at, like, your eight squaddies and going... I have to pick four of these. What the hell? Like, all of these are valid options, you know? And I think certainly with the introduction of these two, we've gotten a lot closer to that with the hunters. And yeah, like, it depends, because there's various different styles that you can build for. And like I say, I Spy and Hotshot are both really good for beating people up. They're also good for ball retrieval, as you mentioned with Scatha. You know, like, there are other options beyond the sort of obvious that I'm kind of interested to see hunter players unlock, if you know what I mean.
Right. Are you willing to sort of lend some hints there, Bryce? Are you gonna help the broad listenership on their part?
No.
I love it.
Certainly, I would. I'm trying to think, because. See, so the weird thing is, from our point of view as well, is that these guys finished playtesting, like, god damn, when was that? It was a while ago. So, like, I haven't actually really... And it's very odd from our point of view, because we finish playtesting and then we can't talk about it for, like, 6 months. And then everyone kind of comes out and goes, oh, yeah, so how do you use this? How do you do that? And I'm like, oh, yeah, how do we use that? Like, we haven't thought of it. Like, because obviously, from our point of view, this is work that was finished 6 months ago. So... We haven't really thought about them until now, basically, since playtest. So now I'm trying to think what the kind of optimal lineup in terms of, like, a Scatha build or something would be. But certainly, like, basically the sort of very basic tactics and stuff, like, as I say, like, Scatha teams can be quite fragile, and, like, throwing out free come on mates is good, and also having that little bit of backup damage from Minerva. And then obviously Harriers, because with Scatha, like, a lot of the time she can get like two goals, but then maybe like you need to get the two takeouts as well, and Harrier just makes that like a whole bunch easier. Especially if your opponent's not thinking about the takeouts because they're playing against Scatha, you know? And obviously Mitagi's probably the slightly more useful one there because of Hotshot, which is he has a 15-inch threat on like sprint and Hotshot for ball retrieval, which is pretty enormous. Like, I should have done a bit more homework on what the sort of actual builds, if I'm honest.
No, that's okay. Like, my next question is, in Steamforged media training, do they sit you in there, like put on a bit of Wagner and just use flashcards so that you guys basically have it conditioned into you, like, okay, you're under siege here, these are the answers, they're just automatic? Because I gotta say, man, there's a lot of similarities between what we've heard from people like Matt Perkins and yourself. I mean, I think the money that you're spending there is well spent.
If we'd ever been given any training of any kind, that would be a miracle.
Right, we're slowly peeling we're peeling back the Steamforged edifice one layer at a time here. We're getting to the core.
It's weird because it's so odd as a dev, and there is a sort of an element of just you have to be. It's odd because as much as like this is fun and we're just sort of chatting, I have to be constantly aware of what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, I can never just interact like in a show like this if we're mates down the pub, which I really want to do, and we can, like, this is really fun, but like I have to be constantly aware, like, oh yeah, don't say that and don't swear and don't say anything bad about anything, and you know, and it's,
you can swear at Perkins if you want. That's
you're
fine.
Making me feel bad. I mean, like, the media are the enemy. I agree.
We edit That's the good. Shit out of this anyway, and we just put a whole bunch of
I'm not
stuff
editing,
in.
I'm not editing any of this. This is great.
Can I ask a broader question then about the playtest, because we're kind of on it? We are. You've done, you know, as the sub-guilds or the minor guilds, obviously the rat catchers have come out. We've got the falconers coming out. Is there, and I'm not trying to get dates or anything like that, obviously we know the navigator's coming. Mm-hmm. Did Steamforge, or do you guys see them as a bit of a litmus test as to releasing them and kind of seeing how the interactions worked? Because of this greater depth and breadth in the game and the breadth that it adds to those guilds, have you felt like you would release them and kind of just see how things will go? Or is it just basically, you know, ticking them off one at a time?
Yeah, like, to an extent, like, we have a release plan for the minor guilds, and so we are broadly sticking to that, but obviously, like, because not all of the minor guilds are you know, done playtesting yet. Yeah. So we are looking quite closely at when the rat catchers come out. We're looking at how they do competitively and how they're received by the community, and we will obviously feed that into the minor guilds going forward, and also season 4, because the helpful thing is we've got season 4 coming out in like 6 months or something, like end of the year, and I know Perkins has talked about it a little bit as well, but we're looking to make changes to certain models, because, you know, we know there are models, and actually the two you identified in Hunters of like Egret and Vet Heron that are maybe slightly thrown into the shade by these guys, we're aware of that, and we are, you know, like, we want to get to the point where all models are viable in certain matchups and certain situations. And so, like, Egret and Vet Heron, we're giving them a look at for season 4, because we designed these models and we're like, we knew that it might sort of push those models, the Egret and Vet Heron, down a little bit in the pecking order, as it were. And we didn't want to, because we were happy with where like Minerva and Mitagi were. So we're like, let's bring these other models up a bit to where we think they should be, and it's helpful having it's one of the best things about the season structure is that we have like regular intervals where we can look at the health of the game and sort of rebalance things a little bit.
Yeah, it also, I guess, helps manage the expectations of the player as well, that, you know, something's not always going to be invalid, or if something, you know, gets through playtesting and maybe is slightly above par or below par, that, you know, it's not too far before it basically gets rebalanced and tweaked to the point that it's usable. So, absolutely.
For sure, because, like, we don't ever want to have a situation where, like, X model is too good or X model is garbage, because, like, we will make mistakes in playtesting. That's, we're only human, you know what I mean? You can't playtest everything. You can't ever perfectly playtest everything. And most models, I think, come out and we're like, right, that's spot on. That's pretty much where we wanted it. And then inevitably you get those other models where, like, you've playtested it for months and then it comes out and, like, 3 seconds after the rules come out, some champion on Gobs is like, oh yeah, wait, do you realize if you do this, then you can do this, and then you can do this, and that seems really good. And we're sitting there like, yeah, we knew that. we totally knew you could do that. That was totally deliberate. And we're like scribbling notes like, yeah, okay, maybe that's not okay. But yeah, like that. I mean, that doesn't happen often, to be fair. But we're always looking to look where the game is, and, you know, we did an errata a couple of months back, and then we're doing season 4 and at the end of the year, and it's all just, yeah, like, as you say, I feel like that's helpful to let people know that if something is too bad or too good, it's not always going to be like that. Like, we want to take a very active approach in keeping the game healthy, and we want all models, ideally we want every single model to be usable in the right situation, you know.
The real takeaway from that is that Gubs is an excellent community resource and you appreciate the feedback.
Yes.
Right. That's fantastic. so Cam touched on rat catchers, and I noticed that, you know, rat catchers, you've got Vet Graves, you've got Bonesaw, two mm-hmm. lesser regarded players for Morticians. You've got Egret and Vet Hearn for Falconers. What I've noticed with the rat catchers is that Bonesaw and Vet Graves both really shine in that team. I am hoping, and I don't want you to, you know, I wouldn't expect you to comment, but my hope is that you see a similar role for Vet Hearn and Egret in the Falconers, being able to, like, find a spot where they perform quite well and are an active choice.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, because we did playtest them all together quite carefully, and the Vet Graves Bonesaw one is that something we're actually really, really happy with, because that's exactly what we wanted to achieve with the rat catchers and those models, and give those slightly lesser used models a role of their own in the rat catchers. And yeah, I think and I hope we've achieved the same thing with Egret and Vet Hearn and the Falconers.
Man, those 4-point snack digger takeouts, amazing.
Yeah, amazing. Right?
So right? Much fun.
Like, it's just stuff like that that's really cool, but, like, yeah, and it's one of the favorite parts is, like, when you can use a new model or a new guild to, without actually changing a model's card, you can buff another model, right?
Yeah.
Because you can give them particular synergies with someone else in a different guild.
Piper Bonesaw. I scored a goal like that last night. It was fucking amazing.
Right.
You know, you grab the ball, you pass to him, you know, Haunting Melody someone else over, get some momentum, and then go, oh, yeah, by the way, can you just go score a goal?
Yeah.
So good.
And then Bonesaw can... And then, like, so you're... Yeah, exactly. So Bonesaw's sitting there at 8 inches from the enemy goal with 4 influence on him. He's now death 5 because of their football dervish.
Yeah.
And then your opponent has 1 activation to clear the ball before Bonesaw just goes and gets it again. Yeah. Like,
that's so much fun. I'm really enjoying the rats at the moment. Yeah, just weird janky angles. I think lots of depth. Piper's just got so many things in the toolbox. That, you know, you just look at situations, and obviously on clock it's going to be different, but if you have long enough time, you can just dissect and go, actually, I can do this, move that angle, then, you know, heroic them away or heroic them back in, tackle the ball. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, it's one of the coolest things, and I think Perkins has actually dropped his marts at the moment to play rat catchers because he loves them that much. Like, it's that's the other side of what I was talking about, like, because obviously rat catchers were done, God, last year, and he's been like itching to play them for months and months and months, and now he's like, this is amazing, I get to actually play with my toys. And and he's coming out and schooling everyone, because obviously he's known them, he's known about it for months, and he's seen all the angles and stuff. But yeah, Piper's one of those models that I don't think anyone will, I don't know if anyone will ever be the perfect Piper player, because he has so many options on any given turn. Like,
and trying to like understand the different ways you can enable the team, like, it's ridiculous. Like, I've only played a few games, and you know, looked at the way you can, you know, based on the Haunting Melody alone, how that changes how his turn goes. Like, if they choose for you to, you know, you kick off with him, they choose for you to come into them, well, then you can go for a goal run. But if they come to you, then you can like use his whole activation to set up that player for the kill. Like, you know, it completely changes the way the turn's going to roll out.
Yeah, and it's all about picking a target where you're happy whatever happens, right? Like, you're like, yeah, sure, I'll go into you, you can come into me. I do not care. Like, either result is good for me. Which a lot of the rat catchers are about just forcing those decisions on your opponent, where there's no good outcome for them.
Yeah, no, he's amazing. Love it.
Yeah. He's really, really cool.
I just noticed, and is this – I do want a yes or no answer here. The two Falconers that we've got, they're both wingers. Is that just something funny and they're all going to, like, turn out to be wingers? Like a joke?
No. I didn't even notice, actually. Oh, man, that would have been really funny. Yeah. God, we should – I wish we'd done that deliberately now.
Errata all the cards.
Like, yeah, hold on, yeah.
It's always reassuring when a bird's got two wings. All the best birds do.
Hold on, I'm now gonna check. Hold on, I've got the Dropbox open. I'm just gonna go and check and see how many of them are wingers.
Oh, we go. Yeah. You just gave the two wings straight to the Hunters.
I wish we'd done that deliberately, but we didn't. So. No, you know what? We totally did. I'm going to change the narrative. Yeah, we totally did that deliberately. It's a really funny joke.
Oh, wow. Cool.
We'll just edit the rest out. That's hilarious. That'll just sound like...
Thanks, yeah. We were worried it was too subtle and people wouldn't notice. But yeah, it's grand. Yeah. Nice to see you boys picked up on it.
hey, thanks for Veteran Minx. She's awesome.
You're very welcome. You actually more have Perkins. I feel like we're talking about Perkins a lot. Like, it's... Yeah, but that was actually, you actually have him to thank, because obviously he plays his Hunters quite a lot, and he sort of took the lead on Vet Minx, and sort of been like, what do I want when I'm playing Hunters, which is...
I was just going to say, as far as all of the Exiles, you know, we've obviously had a look at them. Did certain people take on those roles of, I'm going to push this one down that line? I mean, like you said, Perkins kind of pushed that one. Was there any specific ones that, you know, you had more of a hand in? Or
I'm trying to remember now. Definitely, I know Perkins sort of... Well, like, so it's weird, because a lot of it's just who writes the first draft of stuff.
Yeah.
Because then, like, obviously, so we... The process is, like, someone will be like, hey, write this... Like, we'll split it up. So for the Exiles, for example, since they'll be like, say, I'll take, I think I took Vet Honor and Harriet, was that me?
Well played.
And then, yeah, Harriet, I'm pretty proud of Harriet. But
it's fucking amazing.
But like, a lot of the time we'll be like, so that person writes the first draft, and then the whole dev team looks at the first drafts and makes changes and suggestions, and then we play test it internally a few times and sort of shake out any immediate kinks, and then it goes to like wider playtest. So obviously, like, for all I'm saying, like, you have Perkins to thank for Minx. Like, it is a joint effort. Like, there's like, there are a ton of people that look at every single model, and some of them can change quite dramatically. Like, I've had models, actually for the Navigators, there was one that I wrote the first draft, and then we playtested, like, it went through and we made changes, and then it got into wider playtesting. We went, actually, this model really isn't doing what we're wanting. So then we sort of, as a group, rewrote it. And that's quite common, because we do try and be kind of like, it's a joint effort, because no matter, it kind of doesn't matter who writes the first draft, because everyone has feedback on it, you know?
Do you find that, because we've noticed a bit of a swing back towards football, and obviously that 2-2 game seems to be the kind of the happy medium of where perception of where you guys want the game to be. But do you find you develop models based on wanting to push the game back towards the middle? Like, you know, for example, with some of these falconers, you know, giving a little bit more kick to the hunters, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Because we want, obviously we want guilds to specialize in certain things, but like ideally I think most guilds should be aiming at that 2-2 place. Like we want the ball to be in play and we want people to be actively using the ball, and guilds, like some guilds, like we were early on, like the hunters, they didn't have a ton of options for playing with the ball, so it was just in their interest not to bother with it. That's not exactly what we want to see. We want every team to have the option, I think, of a 2-2, and then like you have the specific outliers that, so like Fesh, or obviously you want them to be able to play 3-3, 3-3-3.
That's impressive.
18 VPs. Like. But and then obviously you want the Butchers to be able to do like a 6-0 or 1-4. But in general, we'd kind of like all of the teams to be able, like not all the teams, but certainly like the majority we'd like to be aimed at 2-2.
Yeah.
Unless there was a specific fluff or whatever a thematic reason why they should be pushed towards one of the edges. Because again, like we want to keep the ball in play. Like we think that's a really important part of the game.
It's the fun part of the game, absolutely, and it's probably what draws a lot of people to it, is the ball pinging around. Like we've all had games early on where, you know, it's just a grind fest because the ball's off in the corner, and as soon as that ball comes live and it's like, you know, goal, snap back. You know, it's so much more fun, like watching that and dissecting how to make that snap back goal happen.
Yeah, and how to score without immediately giving a snap back and having plans to prevent that. And it gets to be much. Yeah, I just think that's the most interesting part of the game, and has much more, as you say, much more fun when the ball's pinging around and when it's a really active game. Because you get those games where it's just a grind and you're like, oh god, this is so boring. Like, just, and then as soon as you get the ball in play, it's just fun, you know. And so that's something we are looking to push going into season four and going into the future of Guild Ball, is we want the ball to be in play, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I love it. I mean, it's a reason why I've just been playing, you know, a little bit more Pin Vice, bit of Piper, like just the goal scoring teams and captains, just because it's faster game as well. Like, I like a quick game. No one likes one that you just basically sit there and try to clock the opponent and then get 10 points on clock or 8 points on clock. But it's just a more dynamic and puzzle solving component of the game. It's not like 4 influence here, you know, on decimate does 8 damage. Like, that's just a boring way of playing game.
Definitely. I did hear of one game in the US where a guy got 12 VPs on clock because he just sat and just killed the ball and just sat and did nothing for 45 minutes. And I was like, that sounds like the worst game.
That doesn't sound like the US meta at all. No. Oh my god. Yeah, I don't think that's a positive play experience.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
but I do like, and this is probably from my own point of view, but how you've seen models that will control the ball, and Corsair is probably, you know, one of those contributors that can, you know, close control and sturdy are pretty handy. But that you've brought in abilities that can get around that, and Sucker Punch is one of the, or not just Sucker Punch, but Harriet specifically is one of those. And I kind of like that. It just forces them to think a bit more, and, you know, makes the game more dynamic, and they can't just park it on one model and then amble up the board.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really important going forward. Like, obviously I can't talk too much about that, but that is something that we are looking to do going forward.
Oh, look, I think it's pretty evident. I don't think
say
yes or no whether you know, do it. I think keeping the ball live and obviously influencing the players who can trap it quite, you know, give the other teams an ability to basically remove the ball or, you know, scatter it and get it going again.
And giving teams ball retrieval options, whether the ball is on an enemy player or is loose, is really important.
Yeah.
And like definitely we did that with the navigators, because they are, I mean, they're the fisherman sub guild, so they are very much aimed at that 3-0 play style as well. So they have a ton of options for, I mean, like, it's one of those, they can do a 2-2 play style, but they are, the intent with them is that they should be going for 3 goals, and so they have all the tools to do so.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I know.
The best games of Guild Ball are when the ball is in play and you have that you have that sense of constant danger.
When every activation is important, and keeping the ball either out of the enemy's hands or trying to score yourself. I completely agree. Those are the best games when it's just, that's a really nice way of putting it, that constant sense of danger, actually. That's a really good way of putting it. Which is one of the reasons I love playing Shark. Like, I just love Shark. Going for 3 goals.
I'm just going to make a mark here. Editing mark 101, call terminated.
Our relationship just changed.
Yeah. No, it's, didn't you and James Long have an epic showdown at Vengeance last year?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I made a really silly mistake and I got punished for it. But it was a good game. Like, he's a really nice guy, as James.
Mate, you took second at Vengeance. That's fucking nothing to sneeze at. That's a huge achievement.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like any tournament, I don't believe that you can do well in any tournament without getting lucky at some stage. Whether that's matchups, whether it's hitting a critical goal, whether it's even just like your opponent just makes one mistake. You know, I think you need to get lucky at some point to do well. So yeah, like I was really, really happy coming second to Vengeance. And there was a lot of games where I could have lost. Like, I played Steve Easton and he missed the 4-dice goal with smoke.
did he fucking bitch at that point? I've played Easton before, man. He's got some choice dice rage. he's such a good bloke. Love Steve.
He's a lovely. I love Easton. Like, because obviously we play each other quite a lot. We know each other pretty well. Yeah, I've played him twice in tournaments, and both times he's missed 4-dice goals. Oh, so I'm like, yeah, sweet, undefeated, 2-0 against Easton. Like,
what I love is like how much shit JJ Layfield and Easton heap on each other. I mean, it's all in fun, but it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's one of those quintessentially like Aussie relationships, isn't it? And actually, Scotland is a very similar thing where like your friends are the people that like you insult the most, yeah. Like. But then it's funny because I think both Scotland and Australia have quite a similar thing where it's like you and your mate will be sitting ripping the absolute hell out of each other. But if some random or a stranger or someone you don't like starts doing it, you're like, that's my mate. What the hell are you doing? Like, get away from him. Like,
what, you're playing Vengeance again this year? Like, what sort of tournaments are
you yeah, for? Yeah, playing. I got Vengeance and. What else am I doing? I think a couple of local ones, because obviously I think we're going to start running a few in the Steamforged HQ has got like a gaming space now, and I think we're running a couple of events in there hopefully before too long, and then there's a few other ones that I just like, you know those kind of events that like the smaller local ones where you kind of make up the decision if you're going to go on like the Friday night type thing.
We do the reverse. We basically kind of decide that we're going to run the tournament the night before. And just...
Fair play. But yeah, I know I'm doing Vengeance, and then obviously there's a few. I can't really remember. I'm really bad for planning, because I'm really bad. I keep double booking weekends and stuff because I'll be like, yeah, I'll do that and I'll do that and I'll do that because that's all 3 months away. And then 3 months comes around and I'm like, oh, that's all the same weekend. Whoops. Mm. Like. But yeah, like I know I'm definitely doing Vengeance again. I don't know what I'm running. I think I'm either gonna take Fish back, or I might play Farmers because they're out now and I like Farmers.
Right.
But I'm not sure. I don't know.
Hey, what was the thinking behind Vet Honor? What gap was she meant to plug? Because I know she's one of the exiles, probably one of the few exiles who has left people a bit confused.
Basically, she's a kind of get out of jail free card with Fields of Wheat and crafting time, in terms of she can just put things, like, she can just put your harvest markers wherever you want, and the legendary ability to pull harvest markers and immediately allocate influence. She's a support model that's kind of supposed to be like, particularly for slightly less experienced farmer players, is a kind of get out of jail free card. Like, you're like, oh hell, I messed up my harvest marker positioning. That's fine, I can just fix it. Right. You know?
Okay.
And also, like, she brings 3 influence and has momentous 2 damage on momentous. Like, she has the momentous 1 and a double push on 3 as well. Because farmers don't actually have a ton of momentous pushes. And then she got momentous damage. And also, I think she's the only model in the guild with a momentous tackle on 1. So she can do that. She's basically a support model that's intended to make life easier, particularly if you're a kind of newer player to farmers.
Yeah, again, you know, that problem where, you know, how do you build your 6?
Yeah, for sure. And that's basically the problem we want ideally we want every guild in the game to have. Like, we want you to be looking at your 6 and going, all of these options are valid. And, like, not always in every situation. So maybe you're going, all of these options are valid, but I'm playing against butchers, so model X and Y aren't really good here. And then I'm, like, kicking, so model Z maybe isn't good there. And then even then, you should still have, like, choices to make with regards to what models you're playing, you know?
Yeah. I can see some interesting interactions with her and Plowman, though. I think almost opens him up a little bit in terms of the, you know, you place, you pull them up, you place again to multiply, but potentially, yeah, whether you're stripping some off the influence and then you're chucking other ones down to multiply for other models like Fallow. So I reckon there's some kind of mechanic in there that you could create a shit ton of influence in a turn.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and obviously Fallow is very efficient because she just turns a harvest marker into 2 influence, you know?
Yeah, so...
There is some really cool synergy between Honor and Plowman as well, like with the whole placing and multiplying thing. Plowman's a weird one because I think he's maybe just a touch too difficult to get the most out of at the moment. Mm-hmm. Like, because I think he's a really cool model because he was one of mine, or at least the very first draft was mine. But I think he's a really cool model, and I don't think people really appreciate him in a lot of ways, but again, it's with farmers, there is so much competition for that 6. And I think Plowman, I think he's a good model. I've used him in tournaments, I think he's really fun, but he maybe is just a little bit too difficult to get the most out of, and I think that's maybe why you don't see him too much. Like, he's more awkward to make work than most of the planters, but if you make him work, he's great, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've heard, you know, people just running that full planter or mainly planter team as well. I mean, you can always do that and, you know, see how you go there, especially when you've actually got, you know, Grange at the helm who's basically giving the damage buff and really dialing the planters back up to, you know, decent damage as well. So
yeah, and that's another thing with Honor, because, like, actually having a short playbook is a real benefit in farmers because of how many dice you tend to be rolling when you're making attacks. You know, because farmers, it's almost never just base tack. Like, you have so many, like, 2-inch melees to get crit, to get gang ups. You've got Against the Grain on Thresher. You've got Honest Labor on Grange. Like, the models that you're attacking tend to be rolling with Honor, like, 6 or 7 or maybe an 8 ice, you know. And she just has an option for everything on that playbook. Like, she got push dodge, momentous push, momentous damage, knockdown, you know.
Would you say that Plowman is the Ulfa of farmers?
In terms of, like, he could potentially be slightly easier to get the most out of.
Yeah.
I think that's a bit fair. Yeah. Like, I think, and again, obviously we know all this and we are already looking forward to season 4. Something we're looking to do is maybe take those models that are a bit awkward to use, or, like, not even awkward to use, because some models should be awkward to use, but they should feel like you're getting an appropriate amount of work out of them for the amount of effort you put into them.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
if you get me. And I think there are models, and I think it's fair to say Ulfa's one of them, and probably Plowman's another, where you just, the amount of effort you have to put in and, like, mental energy, because obviously that's we have to think about it in tournaments, and that's taxing, and it would burn your clock. And if you're having to put in a lot of effort to get the most out of these models, then naturally you're potentially going to not see them in favor of models that are easier to use.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Particularly in a tournament setting where I think efficiency is the name of the game. Like, you will take reliable, easily, or well, not easily achievable, but like readily achievable activations over jank.
Yeah.
More often
than not. Yeah, for sure. And that's something that obviously some, like, we're not going to do that with everyone, because as I say, some models are supposed to be janky and awkward to get the most out of, but because if you get the most out of them, they're incredible. And I think Piper's a really good example of that, where Piper works on like 20 different levels, and like every level you're unlocking more options that you're like, oh, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this.
He is jank polished to the highest of sheens. You know, he's like mirror chrome jank.
Yeah.
He's gorgeous. He's gorgeous.
He's such a
good model, man. Rats, like, you guys knocked it out of the park with Ratcatchers. They're fucking amazing. So much fun.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, like we're really happy with them. Because obviously with the minor guilds, we have to take into account like you've only got a single captain, single mascot, and you have a limited pool of squaddies to draw from. And so it was important to make those minor guilds competitive, while at the same time not being too complex to use and fun and thematic. And I just, like, I think we, basically thanks, because we're very happy with where they ended up, and it's really nice to hear that from the community, you know?
Yeah. Mm. And having a look at, like, Mitagi and Minerva, again, it's an incredibly strong start for Falcons. You know, I mean, if that's, you know, a taste of the caliber of players we're looking at, then, you know, they're going to be a fun and interesting guild to play. Yeah, and I really love that idea of riding that line, you know, between aggression and complete obliteration.
Yeah, and that's the line that they are right. They're fucking like riding falcons over that line. You know what I mean? Like that's their home territory. Of like, if you use them well, you like it's glass cannony is probably the fairest way of putting it, in terms of they can do a lot of damage. They can play with the ball. They're really good in a ton of ways, but they are made of they're made of paper in a lot of ways. Like, if you misplay with them, you'll just end up getting beat up pretty easily.
Yeah, I don't know what's in the water at the moment, but Christ, you've got like you've had a string of excellent releases, and it looks to be a string, you know, in the future of a number of excellent releases to come. Yeah, man.
Well, certainly, like I think the next three boxes is. Once, because Exiles aren't, I don't think they're officially out yet, but Exiles, then it's, I think the Fate, I think I remember if it's the Faithful or the Falconers first, but both of those are really cool, and then it's the Navs. And I think all of those releases we are like, I think you can see certainly like a wee while ago we reorganized our playtesting process and form like made it somewhat stricter. And as I was talking about, like we've got the process where like, we do one person writes the thing, and then the whole dev team looks at it, and then we do a few internal games, and then it goes out to wider playtest. And I think the formalization of our playtest process has really, really been, I think it's been very apparent over the last 6 months, and hopefully going forward into infinity. You know what I mean? Like, you can kind of see that we've gotten a handle on it now. And like, of course, we're still going to make some mistakes, but we're very happy in our processes, like
we're seeing a lot of guys locally, like when we started playing at our local club, War Machine was the dominant game, and we've got nearly nobody playing War Machine, and the majority of people at the club now playing Guild Ball, and you know, Cam and I have been really like cool. aggressively advocating for the game, because it's a great game, but I think other people are seeing that it is a game that is simple to learn but very complex to master. And just the way the mechanics have been stripped back, you know, these new releases, the increasing quality of the sculpts that you're seeing, the art is improving. Like, it just seems that you guys have, like, taken the lessons of the last, what, 2-3 years and just, really, really made something with it. Which means that, like, when you're spending your money, you don't feel like you're throwing it away. It's actually a really good experience.
that's really awesome. Like thanks, you know, that's great. And thank you for like pushing the game so aggressively, you know, like that's because the game wouldn't exist for all that we make it. The game wouldn't exist without people like you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, it's mostly Campbell. Like he's very handsome.
I'll just sit there dealing models outside the church. It's fine. Yeah. Hey, thank you for like the faithful, because I'm just looking at the image now. And is it possible? I know it's already been play tested, so I'm thinking calculus, right? Veteran calculus, mm-hmm. or however it works. And you just bring back the blind AOE. I think that's completely fair and balanced.
Yeah.
Because I think that was one of the greatest things of the game.
I remember I played a game. It was before I actually worked for the company, just when I was just playing the game myself. I played against Mason player and blinded four players two turns in a row. And I was just like, this is the best thing I've ever done.
I don't know. It's almost as good as Midas true replicating scything blow and just fucking chopping through a team.
Oh man, that was season one. Was
yeah, it was insane.
I still think it was a very good game, but like, there were some real dumb stuff in season one. Like,
but that's part of the learning curve, and that's kind of what we like, is that, you know, that dumb stuff doesn't exist still. It's moved on. I mean, I was the guy that was playing the stupid Midas shit. But at the same time going, this shouldn't actually exist in the game.
Yeah.
And you guys, you know, made the right call and moved on and developed it, but kept it as a game that everyone wants to play. So
I think particularly since, if you look at the releases since season two particularly, so like you look at the guilds that were released, like Hunters, Farmers, Blacksmiths and Ratcatchers, and then Falconers the next one, I think you can actually watch us get better at our jobs. As you go through those guilds, right? Because all of those guilds, I feel, have gotten closer and closer to the exact point that we want guilds to come out at, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. But I think also you guys from a human error point of view, well, I wouldn't even say error, I think that's an uncommon way of putting it, but you're naturally going to have deviations from that middle, and that's just part of the process. And I think, you know, everyone's accepting of that, you know, sometimes some things might be perceived as slightly up or slightly down. But definitely the last few releases have just been amazing and right on point. I mean, Blacksmiths is one that you don't hear people complain about, but, you know, from being OP, but they're definitely not the other end of the spectrum either. They're just a really interesting, fun, like, guild to play.
Like Blacksmiths, I think they're taking a little bit to work their way in, because they are probably the guild, maybe Ratcatchers now, but Blacksmiths are probably the guild that reward repeated learning and learning about the depth of the guild more than any other guild in the game. Like they're one that is quite hard to pick up and just do well with, because they're nothing they do is obvious. Like you need to work for what you do, but if you can put all the pieces together, I mean, like Christ, we saw I think it was Christine Metz won one of the championship, I think it was Belgian championships with them. You know, like they are absolutely a really good guild. You need to put the work in for them.
Yeah, I mean, we gave one of our locals, when I say locals, Australian locals, Ed, he wanted to take him to, well, he asked what guild to take to a local tournament, and we said, oh, you got to take Blacksmiths, but then you got to take these models. And so I gave him like Burnish and that and a few other ones. Inadvertently, he just discovers how good reinforced plating is against Obulus. All of a sudden it's like, oh my god, this is just amazing. Like, we've, you know, he's just worked out a great counter for like a really bad, you know, opposite captain, you know, that comes against you.
Thanks for wasting your four influence. Cheers.
Yeah. Papa, yeah. Yeah. That is the most probably one of the most satisfying things you can ever do in Guild Ball. It's reinforced plating and a puppet master. Like,
it's like you've thrown up both middle fingers and you're spinning around on your chair at that point. It's pretty good.
Yeah, you're just sat there like, so do you want to concede now or do you want to play it out?
Yeah, how many times do you want to forget about this and try it again? Because we can do that.
Yeah, we can just do this all day long if you want.
Every turn, I'm perfectly you go happy. First. Like,
no, that's excellent. Probably a good point to finish on. Fuck you, Obulus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Reinforced plate.
Fuck you, Obulus. He's had his time, son.
Yeah. Bryce, thank you so much for spending some time with us. We appreciate you taking time to reveal the next Falconer. We're very excited for them to come out in full. And yeah, you're welcome back anytime. We give you the official friend of the show status.
Oh, awesome, man. Thank you. It's been really fun, actually. Like, it's I do love just chatting about toys, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You got a great job, man. Yeah,
thanks for having.
We're pretty jealous.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, anytime, anytime. And are you going to be at WTC this year?
I think we're still figuring that out, because we've definitely, like, we have a team signed up. I think we're still locking down who's on that team. I think I'm likely to be. It's fair to say.
All right. Brilliant. Well, if you do make it, yeah, we'll stand you a few beers.
I am well down for. I have a confession though. I don't actually like beer. Well, like, I can't.
You're actually Scottish.
Yeah, no. I love whiskey. Right, I can drink whiskey
we're fine.
Night long. Like, whiskey's my drink, but like beer, I've been trying to drink it since I was 15, and I just can't. Like, every single time, I'm like, this is just horrible. Why am I drinking this? Like, but yeah, we'll have a dram. Like, we'll get some whiskey down, as eh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, no, I wouldn't say no to that. I'm well keen. Bryce, I think we could say with absolute certainty, you are not the other guy. You are not the other guy.
Thanks, man. That means a lot. Like, and I can already. I hope at some point where I'm going to be sitting in the office with Perkins listening to this podcast, and I can just look at Perkins and stare him dead in the eye. Just while this is happening.
Absolutely. And say, Perkins, you will not surmount the devil's penis like I can.
Ah. Woo. Nobody wants it, but it just keeps happening.
I know. It's kind of like, I was about to say Christmas then, but I'm sure there's people that enjoy Christmas.
I like Christmas.
Mm. Have I just alienated a whole bunch of our Christian listeners? I apologise to those listeners.
Yes, we do trend well with the Christian demographic.
Mm.
What with our clean, non-offensive, non-explicit approach to podcasting.
Yeah, well, ever since you stopped calling people cunts, I think that's mostly what did it.
I never stopped calling people cunts, and I am very offended.
Oh, man, Kabul, love it. On the way up to Harlequin Halls, what do we got rolling this evening?
Well, Cam, given our chat with Bryce, and given that it's the flavour of the month,
yeah,
we thought we'd try out some of these new Falconers.
Ooh, my doggy!
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, that dude.
He's just a bit of a boss.
Just slightly. I feel like there was... It's almost like Steamforged have just received the Christmas list from everyone, from all their guilds, and they've basically said fuck you to a couple of guilds, but the Hunters didn't get the same fuck you. They got everything on their wish list.
The Hunters have basically... I mean, I don't want to unnecessarily wander into a forest analogy here.
Yeah.
But they have spent a lot of time in the Dark Forest, lost, searching for their way...
Yeah.
And then that Theron buff came about, and that Hearn buff came about, and it's like, oh, you could start to see the light. You know, the canopy was thinning a little.
Yeah.
And then Vet Minx dropped.
Boom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And now Matagi.
And your erection is visible from space, so...
I would say it's tree-like.
It's got some canopy of its own. Fantastic. So, Matagi, thoughts? Fucking awesome.
Yeah. Oh, man, the Harrier AoE. It's like they said they would never put Tooled up in Hunters, and
they just found something better.
They just found something better.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it obviously, you know, like for like, when you compare it to Tooled up, the pluses, I guess, of the Tooled up is that it's on the model, so if they run away or you've got a dodge, you can come back into them, you still get the damage buff.
Mm-hmm.
But the minuses and the pluses for the AoE are that you can put it on multiple models and everyone benefits from it.
It's just It's such a fantastic spatial control piece.
Yeah.
Not only does it buff hunters, but and their damage output, but it also plays into that game that they like to play, where they're controlling areas of the board with traps, or with, you know, bear threat or cat threat. But now also with Harrier, it's like you can you're probably going to want to drop it in an area where somebody's already activated it if you're going for that takeout. But you know, if that's not an option and you're wanting to speculatively lock off an area, you can throw it down there, much like the Scather template of Hordes and Legion.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just dig it, man. I love the theme. I love that you send a bunch of birds in there and they peck at your eyes, do a bit of damage. It's pretty good.
So do you think that Theron is going to go get himself like a peach-faced lovebird or something to go in his arsenal? You think that's how it's gone with this? He likes a bit of bird action?
So I actually think hunters now have quite a significant building challenge. Because you can play Theron as it stands with Vet Minx, I think, and you have got what I look at as a highly viable team. You know, it actually turns Theron onto a 2-2 pretty reliably. And I think in a Theron build, you're going to be looking at Theron. This is my preference, but Theron, Fahad, Hearn 1, Jaykar, Zerola, and Flex. And that Flex, I think, naturally would be Vet Minx, just to turn on the goal scoring, the traps, a bit of control, extend threat for your other models. So Mataagi would notionally, for me at least, I can't see myself ever dropping Hearn 1 because the forest just offers so much mobility. Like, that's his ridiculous threat is it's incredible. Particularly on turn 1. I don't think I'd be dropping Jaykar, because I think he is such a reliable damage piece that, you know, he's a reliable 6-point activation if you set him up properly. Don't see myself dropping Zerola because she and Jaykar play really well together on turn 1.
Yeah.
And I
found that you're mitigating that turn 1 ability to generate momentum.
Yep.
With Zerola, it's just gross at that point.
So. And then you're sort of left with, all right, well, Vet Minx, you know, and maybe it's a question of matchup. Like, if you're facing a lot of tough hide, maybe you don't want to go for goal quite as heavily, though the traps do get around tough hide as well. I mean, there's some legitimate building issues, and I think it's going to take a bit of practice before you work out, you know, where Mataagi drops. I do see him in Scarther quite reliably.
Yep.
So, you know, he could fill multiple slots in there. At the moment, I'd be looking to build like Scarther and Fahad, just because I prefer Fahad in a 10.
Yep.
Because he's just like a reliable output model for nothing. Mm. Then you're sort of looking probably Jaykar, because Jaykar is Jaykar. I like Cena. I like Vet Minx, and I like Mataagi. That seems like a really good really good build. I mean, yet to see what the other Falconer looks like, but I suspect that if you'd been playing Vet Hearn, that seems like the obvious spot to switch out.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think Matagi's got some really interesting interactions, and I mean, obviously we talked about this just before on air, off air, like in terms of the ability to gain the ball back. Now, Vet Minx brought that. That was one of the biggest flaws in the Hunter game, and therefore a flaw in the Scarther game. But that ranged, hot shot? The ability to tackle from range. Now, you're not going to necessarily trigger it all the time, but the ability to basically do things to the other team from range is really important. The bleed that he can get off from range, the AoE from range, seems like a really fucking annoying model to have to deal with.
He strikes me as one of these, like, highly efficient models with that hotshot, in the sense that, you know, most turns you can probably just put one on him, have him do his hotshot. He's TAC 5, so he's going to pop out that Harrier off the playbook reasonably reliably.
It's on 2.
It's on 2.
Yep, and it's momentous.
Fuck
off.
Thanks for coming. you know, that seems like a good use of his activation. And, I mean, I think with Hunters, they do like to be able to take down a target reliably just to help with their tempo game.
Yeah.
At least the way I like to play them. And, you know, you play that waiting game. You play that patient game. You're not always going to be able to deny an activation by taking out a model that hasn't activated yet. But you can quite reliably take out a model that has activated, is therefore fixed in place on the board,
yeah,
and makes an easy target to hunt for.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're looking for that reliable takeout, then a Harrier on a model like that is just phenomenal.
Yeah, and without the ball, not many teams have an ability to dodge or move a model, you know, out of activation. So
that's true. That's true. Yeah. But it just turns Theron up again.
Yeah.
It turns the Bear up. It turns Fahad up. You know, the Bear with Snared and Harrier is doing like +2 damage per hit. And Cena's not always the most reliable model, needs a lot of setup, but like with attack 7 base and +2 damage, yeah, thanks for coming.
Well, that, yeah, so you talk Scarfer, so say you're talking Scarfer, Cena, and Matagi, just, yeah, and whatever else.
Yep.
But at that point, you know, Scarfer throws out, yeah, someone's gone, you AoE them with Matagi, so you get the +1 damage, you chuck Scarfer's range snare out, and then all of a sudden you've got a really warm target with, you know, you can snowball Cena plus the fast ground.
Yep.
And you probably, you know, if they're low on health, you don't actually need to have anything on Cena, right? You know, even a charge is pretty adequate at that point.
Send him in, and you know, you're playing into that efficiency that hunters are always looking for to get their optimal game.
Yeah, like a casual mom fucking 6 bear hug there, something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Actually, I really like Vet Minx in Scarther as well. Like, having that blessing on her team just opens her up. It turns her into this amazing kind of support / striker captain, because suddenly she's not reaching for influence to do the shit that she wants to do. Like, getting a not a free, but like a momentum cost cold snap off is great.
Yeah.
Or a momentum cost snowball off is great, because often, you know, she'll make the snowball, she wants to pass the snowball. If you don't have to pay for the snowball,
it's even better.
It's even better.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, look, we haven't even talked about Matagi's kick threat.
2-8.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Like, so, this is something they've really been, not starved of. I mean, obviously, Egret's got an 8-inch kick, but in terms of the models you want to play in the midfield that get that, you know, efficient work done and then have that goal threat, he seems to fill that fucking, those shoes.
He just does, at least in my opinion, he does so much more than Egret.
Yeah.
He adds so much more to the team. He's another great utility player, which hunters seem to have a lot of.
Mm.
But yeah, that 2-8 kick, he's got the range, he's a 6-9 speed.
Oh.
So, like, just, you know, if you've got that goal run, like, lined up, he's one of those models that can get in and get it from actually quite a decent way away from the goal. Which is fantastic, because then, you know, just like you land it, you can bounce him 4 inches off to safety.
Yeah.
And it just keeps playing that slippery game. But what I've noticed is one of the game plan cards gives +1/+0 kick.
Mm.
And I find with hunters that is one of their best cards, because it turns players like Jaykar, it turns players like Matagi into legitimate goal threats. It counteracts the often unreliable nature of, you know, like, they're not the worst kicks in the world, but they're by no means the best.
Well, none. When we've missed, you know, 3 dice and 4 dice shots, like, missing a 2 dice is consistent, right?
Yeah.
So it's not something you want to bank on. Especially if, you know, a Jake or any of them want to get into melee, you know, go down to 1, back up to 2 with a bonus time, you'd rather be sitting at 3 at that point.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
So I'm looking at the new world that Steamforged has built for us.
Yeah.
With those game plans included, and I'm just like, fuck, man, what a time to be playing hunters.
Yeah, yeah. Perkins is a bad man. That's all I'm going to say.
No, he can do no wrong in my eyes.
Oh, they look amazing. Look, if the other Falcons are anything to go by, I reckon they're going to be as exciting, possibly as janky, or, you know, around the same mark as the Ratcatchers. I think I've really enjoyed playing them. You know, they're just a bit of fun. Lots of options. Obviously, a bit more limited, and they have their really weird play style. But I think if the Falconers have a similar kind of feel, they're going to sell a lot of those, and people are going to have a lot of fun with them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I dig... Oh man, I just dig that kind of like fast, light kind of.
It's like, it's a Legion player in you, man.
It is, man. It's that glass cannon approach.
Yeah, just like coming over, bang, overwhelming gone, damage. And I guess ability to see a setup further down the line than the opponent and be able to kind of trigger and have it all in play beforehand.
Your point about that bleed that Matagi has access to, like, what an amazing last activation.
Yeah.
You know, if you're just. I mean, in the same way that Jaykar can go last and put up a snared and bleed as the last activation of the turn, you know, 3 damage, gets through tough hide. You know, just these options to deal with teams that they can struggle into because they can't quite get the damage output that they need.
Yeah.
Just ramps them up.
The Harry AoE obviously deals with the tough hide quite well as well. You know, just basically mitigates that damage and puts, you know, all results at even. I mean, you can see, I can see situations, not that you want, like I've played a bit of Hunters, but not as much as you, but where Theron, you know, after he's shot for a few turns, actually gets in there and starts doing some punching. And with Harrier AoE, he gets some fucking work done.
He's a beast,
because
anyway.
He snares them when he first does some damage. Like, you can just see tooled up on him, you know, effective tooled up, is really good.
Yeah, I think, like, on balance, with access to a higher damage output and access to more, like, 2-inch melee models, so Vet Minx is amazing for that reason.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly you've got a team that's on a more even playing field, you know, and can deal with, like, the power teams. Like Corsair, you know, like Union, just a better ability to play a more consistent game, less janky in a lot of ways as well.
It's interesting. I like to see. I mean, obviously this is brand new, so we'll punch out a game tonight and see how we go. But I'd like to see them, or your opinion of them, into those teams. Like, basically go straight into a hard hitting team and see what happens.
Man, I don't think the Corsair matchup is anywhere near as concerning now.
No.
Like, you drop that Harrier AoE on Corsair, and I think he's in a world of pain.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it's quite interesting. I do think Steamforged identified the Corsair, a very specific Corsair build was, you know, OP and not a great player experience, and you can see how they've brought certain interactions into the game. Harriet's another one. Like, bringing Harriet into the game, with the ability to basically just kick scatter the ball off a close control model, is really handy. You know, she can just throw out her sucker punch and bang, sorry, no, you don't have the ball anymore.
Yeah.
That's really good, because that was the biggest thing for engineers, and obviously that's where I'm coming from, was getting the ball off Corsair. It's just a shit long matchup with Ballista.
Yeah.
But, you know, having that on the table. So I think you can see where they've started to bring things in to mitigate those skew lists that were just too hard and too bad a play experience for people.
Yeah, nice bit of counterplay where now there's an extra level of thought beyond park the ball on Corsair and, like, come in and try and trigger close control and get the ball off whilst avoiding the counterattack sort of thing.
David.
Yes, Campbell.
We might have to have some elevator music in a second.
Why is that, mate? Do you have to stop for fuel?
I might just have to stop for fuel. Just to make sure that we actually make it to the club.
You do get nervous when the fuel's low.
Yeah, I know. I just had a, like, nervous pee just then. Hope you can't smell anything.
I think you've been... I think you've been eating asparagus, mate. Yeah. No, but good times. Like, exciting times for Hunters. And I've played a lot of Hunters games now and got my dick punched in a lot of times. I just feel like
it makes it, like, validates all those games you played, right? Like, gives you that, you know, that sense of worth from all that time you basically spent.
Yeah. And now it's just like fucking Christmas.
It is. It is Matagi Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Man, if they're all fucking like that, you can't be serious. Like, it can't even be possible. I guess they only get two, though, so we've seen one of the two.
Sure. Might make that the fuel intermission. Yeah.
Crackles wild.
I gotta say, mate, I have never missed so many passes in my life. Never missed so many passes or goals.
Which gypsy's cat did you fucking run over?
I didn't run it over.
Fair.
I'm gonna leave that unwritten lesson hanging in the air.
Oh my god.
Oh, I missed the 3-dice tap in tonight.
Oh.
1-1-1.
It's like,
I don't know who I've pissed off, but I'm going to take the message.
That's pretty funny, actually. Yeah. No, not at all. When you do everything to get a model that close to the goal to have a 3-dice tap in.
Oh.
Seems pretty good. Seems like planning.
So I'd set that game up so that I'd go to 8 points at the top of 2.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just I said no.
Yeah.
So I only got to 4 points.
Dice said this is going to be a long game, not a short game.
Yes. Which is good sometimes. You know, forces you to dig deep and rethink. And
oh, you're playing Pat. He's pretty good.
Young Pat.
He's, I like the cut of his jib. Yeah,
he's pretty good, man. He's very calculated.
Mm.
Once he gets some more games under his belt, he's going to be a monster.
Yeah. Fucking shark player, though. Jesus Christ.
Another shark player.
That's okay.
If that's the gateway drug we have to deal with to get new people into Guild Ball, I'm willing to accept it.
Steamforge, just send us a whole bunch of shark bottles, thanks. Just entire fishermen teams.
Fish teams. We'll hand them out like meth. There you go.
So playtesting of your little mate Matagi.
Young Matagi.
How did Matagi go? Well, I kind of know because I was on the receiving end first game in terms of. The Hunters v. NG's matchup.
So that game we played was so fast that Matagi really didn't get a good chance to test his legs.
No.
The one activation that he really did have a chance to shine. He went for his hot shot on a hoist who was double ganged. He was already in the gangbang. And not a single hit.
We got one success in the armor, fucking mitigated it.
Seven dice. Nothing.
Oh, that was pretty good.
And I think Hoist was snared as well, wasn't he?
No, I can't remember. Maybe he wasn't in a good place.
Yeah, but, you know.
There's a lot of twos, you rolled. I just remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So
lesson one with Matagi, roll better.
But the theory was Hoist with Harrier doesn't seem quite so bad.
No.
Should be able to take him down a bit easier.
No, I mean, the other one is the bone traps are fucking insane on tough hide models.
Yeah,
just because
really
the way they function, if you can get three on a tough hard model, that's a lot of damage. And when Hoist's only 11, right, that's half of his damage before you count reanimate. So
actually, he wasn't entirely useless. That you know, he missed that shot, but the next round he was able to retrieve a ball and then kick it off. And yes, he missed that pass, but the point is, he got the ball to a much better place.
He did. He missed that one, and then. It was just a game of missed shots. I mean, I had a speculative snapshot, which would have won me the game, which was a cheeky one.
Yep.
But then I think I missed another pass, and it was all ugly. Yeah.
And I had a Scartha pass to set a snapshot up with Vet Minx, who was sitting off goal.
Four dice pass.
Everything misses, and then we remembered that we had the plus one kick card in play.
Oh, boom.
So you graciously let me roll that.
We're not playing in the tournament, but yeah. And nothing had happened at that point. It was like we sat there just looking at it going, fucking really?
Four dice pass this game. So I couldn't hit a damn thing tonight. It was great.
So essentially, the learninating of Matagi was minimal.
It was minimal, but I can sort of see where he plays. You know, like he hangs around just off the midfield, off centre, looking for an opportune spot to throw a Harrier, ideally through Hotshot.
Yeah.
I can see him, you know, trying to get a decent... Like, he could get a tackle at range with that Hotshot as well. So, you know, if you've got a scrum, somebody's holding the ball. I mean, attack five with the tackle on three, non-momentous, is not great, admittedly, but it's not terrible.
No.
It's like, okay.
Well, and it's also not something opponents will necessarily see, right? So, and that's the issue there. It's this janky, weird angled shit.
So,
mess with people.
Like, he's not reliably going to get it against a 4-1 model, but when you start to look at the fact that, you know, singled out will help him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess, gang ups will help him. Any other sort of bonuses you can pull that add to his tack?
Is it grudge match that gives the single out?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you play it right and you've got the grudge match card, you can actually engineer a way of, you know, getting a favourable situation.
Yeah,
to,
very true.
You know, top of a turn or something like that. So,
fucking tech, Campbell.
Yeah, you heard it here. He's 11.
Would you say that was high level strategy?
We are up a hill at the moment. It's definitely high level. Just edit that bit out. It was terrible.
But what I am noticing is, like, Vet Minx is just phenomenal. She plugs a gap so well in Hunters, in the sense that she can, you know, make a great goal run. She's got a low tackle, or she can just switch up and do damage. And then those traps, oh my god, they're just so good.
Yeah, I'm finding it quite frustrating. It's interesting because on paper, like, she looked good, but never, I think I've already said this, like, not as good as when you actually face her on the table. The toolbox just seems so much deeper. on the table, and you know, maybe it's the situations you're laying her out, but she does some, definitely feels like that Vanguard kind of model. Like, get her in there, really fuck with the other people, put things down, opportunistic goals, like, it's all there.
Yeah. And having that momentous dodge on one, you know, because often with a TAC 5 model, you're going to whiff and you're only going to get one hit, one net hit. So having the ability just to generate momentum, if that's all you can do, you know, is good. So you can give a 4, you're reliably going to generate 4. You may not change the board state much if you're not hitting much, but at least you're not falling behind in a momentum race.
Well, you generate the blessing too.
There you go.
High level, mid-level.
Mid-level now that we're further down ahead. I'm really liking her in a Theron team to put the blessing on Zerola.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to having Hearn or Theron do it.
Theron loves her. Hearn loves her because they both like to put her on their own plays, right?
Yeah, it just ups their damage output that little bit more. And particularly with Hearn, like, if he can use the blessing for the snared, for the skewered, like, that's just money, man. That is cash money!
Cash money. No, love it. Absolutely love it. I got a second game in with a bit of rat action, which was shitloads of fun. Man, they're just fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, despite what people will tell you about, like, their playability, they're just so much. Like, Piper can get goals from all over the place and just janky, weird angles. And right at the end, I brought him back on. He got beaten up by Grange. Yeah, bad luck for him. Jogged up, got the ball, passed it off, then thought, oh, I'll casually Haunting Melody someone over. They chose to go to me to go to them. That's cool. Made sure I was still within 8 of the model that I'd passed to. Got a couple of punches, generated the momentum, and then went, oh, yeah, had the 3 for Reverie. Did that. Bang, goal. Thank you very much. Bonesaw just, you know, sprints and shoots. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Can't complain.
Yeah. You're taking Bonesaw, Campbell.
Oh.
Controversial.
I'm a bad person. Well, Piper got the first goal, like, kickoff goal, and then Bonesaw got one. I'd already got a snack break eating Tater's face. And so then, I mean, Ellie hadn't played against rats before, but he'd seen me do the snack break, so he knew I was on 11 points. And then he moved someone else, and I just scourged, just basically two-shot the chicken.
Wow.
Yeah, ate the chicken.
I mean, potatoes and chicken almost sounds like a proper meal.
It was a stew, kind of.
Yeah, just need to throw some greens in there, man.
Bit of rat sack. I'm not sure which one I'm talking about there, either.
Uh-huh. So, what, you just like you've always liked that fast scoring game.
Yeah.
So you just like the unpredictable angles that they're coming from?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's got that shark, that Midas kind of feel about it, or vitriol, where you just can fly in from all angles. And I think because, you know, when Piper gets killed, which is completely fine, your team's up the board, all of a sudden they're all in kind of threat range. So if they're not really securing the ball, you've got all these options to grab the ball and, you know, have a shot or bring someone back in with a Reverie. All sorts of options.
Yeah.
He's got all these different styles of dodges that you can use. So when he went for his goal, I went into Ellie, and then Grange, Tater, a few of them are in, like, bad spots. So, oh, it's fine, I'll just legendary, push everyone out of the way. And I can just basically walk around, grab the ball, punch peck a couple of times, generate momentum, and shoot a goal.
Yep.
So it's just how you apply those tools, I guess.
Yeah, it's a very different game style to that more methodical one, isn't it? It's more like, how do I score from out of nowhere as quickly as I can and just win the game?
Yeah, I definitely think they don't play long games.
Yeah,
you don't want to be playing the long game. I mean, Scourge and Pelage can really beat the shit out of a midfield.
Yep.
But I also think they can be controlled quite heavily. And something Ellie and I talked about was that he should have just brought Grange straight away, straight in, and knocked them all down. Like, yep. You know, anyone with disease, knock them down and just make it really terrible.
Were you playing Miasma?
Yeah.
What do you think of her?
She was pretty good. She was pretty good. I basically used her to be tagging Squeak along, to then try to get Squeak to just start putting disease on people.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and just get him into diseasing everyone. And then at one point on Tater, I'd crowded him a few times and I took damage, I think, instead of the radicalism. Not the radicalism, the eruption of spores, which probably should have taken the eruption of spores because that's just fucking horrendous. But I had him crowded and singled out that badly that like when Scourge was hitting it, it was 12 dice or something ridiculous.
What?
So that's how I got the snap rate. Oh yeah. It was when you get, you know, to the momentous 5, which goes to 6, and you're rapping to grab the snap break at the same time.
I love Scourge.
Yeah, he's so good. He's
a fucking baller, man. He's just gets so much work done. Well, but I, so what do you think the downsides are? Like, what do you
Condition. So yeah, if you can get a condition onto the rat catchers, that is a terrible time. So I think KD. I don't think KD hurts Scourge as much unless you've got to kind of hit him, push him. So range KD, Ballista would be pretty annoying. Because if you're still engaging him, he'll just stand up and then eat you and push you around and that sort of thing. They're relatively fragile. I think we talked about it, and you know, Bone Saw's 4-0 with 12 boxes, so he can go down pretty quick. And I think a fast footballing side, it would be interesting to see like a foot-toed shark fish into them.
Yeah.
Like how that'll play off against the fast, you know, pipe of football, because I don't think the rats are that fast. You know, they can quickly get a 2-2 game, but I think a 3-0 might be a bit slower.
Right, okay.
So, I don't know, I haven't played them enough, but they're just fun. Just loads of fun.
Yeah, I've played a couple games with them, and yeah, not enough to really understand them, but enough to get an appreciation of weird angles and like how much fun it is just tearing something apart with Scourge.
Mm, that's so good.
Yeah, I played with both Bonesaw and Vet Graves when I was running them.
Okay.
And kind of looking for those 4-point like Gravedigger snack break takeouts. I played Sid. So Sid's a guy on Vassal. He's Eastern European. I'm not sure whether he's exactly what country he's from, and if he's listening, I apologise. But he plays a really, really strong rat catchers game, and he basically showed me, you know, snack break on mascot is a fucking obvious and great play. But also, how to hunt for that 4-point snack break Gravedigger takeout, you know? Like, Graves is a great setup model for the knockdown Gravedigger or the knockdown bleed. And then once you've got that on, just really focusing your fire to get the takeout. And my God, you know, you talk about maybe having to play a short game. Two goals, one snack break Gravedigger.
You
seems
know.
Like a yeah.
Absolutely.
But he's good. Sid's the guy who keeps updating the Vassal module.
Oh, what a champ.
So he does all this work behind the scenes, and I think anybody who plays on Vassal would realise that it's gradually been improving. He updates it on the regular. He does a great job, and he does it just, you know, because he wants everybody to be able to use it.
Big shout out to him.
Bit of a shout out, guy.
I mean, compared to the old days of Warmer Hordes on Vassal, fuck man, that was painful.
Oh God, yeah. Guildball module is like,
it's so
really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can just pump out a game so quickly as well.
Yeah.
As long as you're not playing Hayden, it takes for fucking ever.
Yeah. But we shouldn't, I mean, like, he can't help it, man. Like, that accident, it changed him, and we still love him. We still love you, Hados.
Yeah, you're a champ. Kind of.
Yeah.
We had a good game the other night. He basically straight up towered me, but we're playing a tempo style game, so I missed a bad play, or a good statistical play, but a goal run, and then he just ate his way through my team and played a real good tempo. What was it? Midas into Pinfoss. It was a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
the
dude.
I like that he's bucked the Alchemist trend, played the convention, and he's all in on Midas. He kind of likes that faster style game, doesn't he?
Yeah.
A bit like you.
That's what I find exciting about Guildball. Yeah, you got to live and die by the dice a little bit, so you know, that'll happen. And that, you know, happened the other night for me, but it's good fun pinging goals in from fucking weird angles.
Yeah.
The other thing about the snap, bro, this is what I was thinking. You don't even just trigger. So you can do it on the mascot, but even if you just get it once on anyone, right, you get the 3-point one, then it just opens up the mascot to be killed there.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So, and that's what I did tonight. Like, I could have got the mascot as well, but it would have put me on 13, which is irrelevant. But yeah, it just opens up and makes the mascot sitting in the middle of the park not so good anymore.
Yeah, I've always loved that about Cena as well. You know, you get a bear hug and suddenly the mascot takeout's viable.
Mm.
Or at least worth the effort that you put into taking it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good times, man. Good games tonight.
Yeah.
Really fun.
I'm on snapbots.
Yep.
More Guildball. Wow. On that note.
Indeed.
Shall we end this shit show?
Yes. Not before time.
Welcome back. That was fucking sensational, David. Are you that bit more excited than you were before?
Mate, you know I am. I'm on a fever pitch boil until these dudes get dropped.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's very exciting. The Falconers are really going to shake up the meta. It's going to be good fun. So, it was awesome for Bryce to lend us some of his time.
Man, I did like chatting with him about how Falconers is going to plug gaps in Hunters. I really enjoyed some of the side conversations as well, you know, about minor guilds and just you know how it is. We start the conversation and we'd never know where it's going to end up.
Absolutely. There's a little bit of poking, a little bit of prodding, and I reckon he enjoyed it all.
Yeah, I hope Perkins Flick passes his obligations more often.
Fair. You know, at least you don't have to, like, edit in half speed at that point, really.
Oh, fuck. I sped it up to 3x speed once just to see what it sounded like. Yeah? I think I nearly invented a new Hadron Super Collider.
Oh, my God. You could recreate the, like, you know, Dawn of the Universe. I'm not sure that's a good thing. All right? So, and in our usual outros, we like to thank people. We have had a new subscriber. It's someone who's close to our hearts. He is the man that supported Guild Ball in Australia and Canberra for so long, Matty G. He's finally pulled his finger out. He said he would eventually. He just had a few things to deal with. Matty G's on there. He's wasting his money on us.
Yes, wasted.
Yeah, absolutely wasted. So if you're wasted as well and want to throw some money at us, patreon.com/doubledodge. We love it. It helps us basically get to tournaments. We're going to use some of the money to go to WTC so that we can be there and be the same dickheads but in another country. And, yeah, it's really helpful. Different levels, $1, $5, $10. Jump in. It all helps.
Or don't if you don't want to.
No, it's binary. It's either it's like a zero or one.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Isn't it like giving us money on Patreon and sending us overseas a bit like the disease condition?
It is.
Man, you want to pay to stop it. I don't think we've got anybody else to thank.
Other than our sponsor, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But do we? Young Jesse Heiss.
He's
on a
legend.
Rampage, man. He's on a rampage lately.
He's absolutely smashing it. And with all the stuff coming out, the new alliances that's going to drop, I think, 18th of May, I think the new Union, Faithful of the Sulpicians, is the same date. Get on him, freecitygames.com. We love to give him a plug. There's a frickin' lion goalkeeper. I'm not sure how that's not a good thing.
Yeah, get on him because you know other people have. Good old Jesse, the old sexual Tyrannosaurus. He just keeps on trying.
He does. He loves it.
Yeah, I'm just glad that his arms are the shortest thing about him.
Flailing around.
I don't know where this is going. Yeah.
No,
I'm so lost right now.
And if you're
sorry, mate. Gosh,
I've got nothing. I've got nothing. I was going to say, if you too are lost, but then I didn't know where to go with that. So
yeah.
So I guess on that spirited or less than spirited and just flat delusional kind of note, that's the end of the episode.
Yep.